Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Feather Snap. Y'all, I have officially reached the age where when it rains, I stand on my porch with my coffee mug in hand and declare, we really needed this. And with that, Alice and I have also taken to not only watching the many birds of our backyard, but also work to learn their specific bird calls. I kid you not, this very morning, Alice called me out to our porch to let me know, and I quote, "Aw, the morning doves are back." Which is why I'm so excited to tell you about the Feather Snap Scout Bird Feeder, which comes equipped with a top-of-the-line camera so you can grab images of all of your bird feeder customers and identify them thanks to expert-trained AI. It's so easy to set up and easy to use with built-in solar panels that means less recharging and more bird watching. The feeder pairs with a Feather Snap app that lets you organize your favorite pictures, and you can learn fun facts about hundreds of species and even earn badges for IDing new birds. Seriously, it is so fun, so be sure to check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. Through the Griffin Tour is back, and this time we are heading to the West Coast. Join Jay and I as we record brand new episodes of the show live in person with you guys, plus a special in-person Jay versus Ben with questions asked by... This September, we will be heading to Seattle, Portland, Sacramento, Berkeley, San Diego, and Los Angeles. Seattle and San Diego were both sold out, but we've just added matinee shows to both locations, so if you missed out on the first pass, or if you want to join us for a doubleheader, we will have two unique shows in the same day. For us, there is nothing more fun than getting to nerd out Harry Potter style with each and every one of you, and we will also have exclusive Through the Gryffindor merch and a VIP meet and greet available for every show. We hope to see you all there. Ticket links can be found in the show notes or at supercarlinbrothers.com. What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
I will be in every episode. Sometimes hosting it, sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
Depending. It's all up to you guys over on the Patreon.
You
sign up for those Jazzy Jay tiers.
Right.
You can, you know, you can force Ben out of hostmanship.
In case anybody was unaware, that is how,
that's
it
how
is,
we do it.
That's how it's determined. Yeah. We have tiers for both of us. So depending on who has the most votes at any given point in time. It's close. I mean, any one vote could swing it.
Yeah, you know, or you just, you know, if you like, think about it like this. If you're presently on the Buzzy B side and you go to the Jazzy J side, it's really like two votes because minus one there, plus one here.
What? Wow. So, wow. You went there
trying to math it out, man. Give yourself more power. That's what I'm saying.
I can already feel the coalition coming together, being mm-hmm. like, okay, all we need
is, like, you know, it feels like whatever the difference is, it's only half that if you switch.
I wonder if you're like in like the Senate or the House of Representatives, if this like conversation, I say I wonder as if this isn't definitely what's happening all the time.
Yeah.
But like you've got like in everybody's like, who do you know? Do you think you can get them to switch? Okay. That's a twofer.
That's a
you
twofer.
Know? If we get them to come over and then like they lose a vote in the process, it's like, you know, this is working well for us.
Yeah.
That is very interesting. I guess that's where politicking comes into play.
Yeah.
It's like you think of politics as like talking to the people, and it's like politics is talking to each other.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, a lot of that.
Yeah. When it really boils down to it. Mm. Anyway, in a non-political scope, I feel like I'm having a bit of a misty morning, if I'm being completely honest with you.
A misty morning. Do tell.
If you know the type. So today was Addison's first day of preschool.
Oh.
Oh my gosh, I know. And I think it hasn't felt real the whole time leading up to it. Like all of last week, like, you know, we had like all these like things that we were supposed to be doing and getting like her specific nap roll and like, you know, lunchbox, and, you know, they've got these like little canvas bags that you like pack each day with like their, you know, their morning snack and their afternoon snack. And, you know, then like, I don't know. So there's like all these like little things that we were supposed to do as parents, you know, to like get her ready for it. And I'm like, yeah, you know, like, well, it'll happen. Like, we'll get there. I'm sure we'll get it all squared away and everything. And But this, you know, this morning we get up and like we've been telling her like all for the past week. It's like, yeah, we're going to school next week, and she's like, I'm going to school, and you know, she's clearly excited about like the backpack and
right,
all
yeah.
the little bits and bobs.
There's like this build up to it where it's like, I got lots of new stuff. Lots of things about me are happening.
Yes.
And it's sort of like, there's this big build up to it. And then it's like the moment it's like, oh, but wait, like then you're there. And then suddenly your parents aren't there. And it's like, wait a minute.
Yes.
What happened?
Yes. So basically, you know, what was going on was on this past Friday, you know, we went over to the school and we got to go in, and like they had like an open day, like where the teachers were there, the classrooms were set up, and you're supposed to be able to go and like let your child play in the classroom and maybe kind of like, you know, play with some of the other kids, play with the toys, get a feel for like what the space is going to be like. And like while we're there, you know, like we're chatting with them and they're asking about like how potty training's going and all those, you know, details and stuff. And as far as we knew, we were just like in the appropriate class for where Addie is at. And then we leave and we go home and they sent us an email and they were like, hey, we were all just talking and you guys were saying like Addie's doing pretty well with her potty training. So we're actually going to switch her into this other classroom. And all of a sudden it's like, but we didn't tour that classroom. Like, you know,
what's she going to do?
I don't know that teacher. So they were like, okay, but like given the special circumstances, like we're going to make an exception, because normally like you're not allowed through the door that takes you to the doors where like all the classrooms are. So you would like send them off right there. And that's where you say goodbye and that's it. So this morning, Alice and I both go in. We've got like all of her bags and everything. And, you know, she's like holding my hand and she's so excited. But like there's that feeling in my mind where I'm like, she's going to look at me with these eyes of betrayal. Like,
no,
so, you know, like, yeah. Like, I mean, just because it's like I felt like I was like walking her into this situation. And I think maybe on some level, like I'm like. Projecting onto her.
I know, I was
going to
say, that sounds like some projecting, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Did you feel betrayed?
I don't think I felt betrayed. I don't think, I never really, like, wanted to be at school.
Well, yeah, sure, right. Yeah, it's so boring.
So in my mind, I was like, you know, I don't want her to, like, you know, not want to be here, something like that. But so, you know, like, we walk in, and, like, now we're, like, going into, like, a new classroom. Like, even, like, when we walked through the door, she tried to walk into the classroom we went to on last Friday. So like she like remembered like where to go. And like looked like confident and comfortable and had like, you know, like moxie in her step and everything. And I'm like, yeah, Addie, except don't go in there, go in here instead. And she's like, wait a second, what do you mean I'm going in here instead?
Different place.
But so then I think that even the teacher was sort of like, okay, like you guys are really, you know, I understand why you're here. Ask me two questions and then like you guys need to leave. So there's a moment she's like, okay, like here's Addison's hook, you know, we hang her backpack up and then like, you know, we turn around and like Addison doesn't realize that like what's about to happen. Of course, I'm projecting, like I'm assuming she feels betrayed, but I think she's okay. But so she thinks I'm like right behind her. She walks right back into the classroom. The teacher looks at me and goes, leave. And like, because I'm sure that what they know is like, once the child is in there and they're facing the right direction, like it's harder to watch her parents like walk away.
Yeah.
And so I think that, she wasn't being rude or anything. She was just sort of like, okay, this is the moment. Like it came, you know, it's like,
right.
I was thinking we were going to like take pictures, like do this whole thing, like, you know, and it was sort of like, now we're out the door. So like, you know, all of a sudden it's like, I see Addie's back walk through the doorway and then she's gone.
Right.
And then they're like, you guys are out of here. And then we get into the main lobby and Alice is asking like all the staff and everything, all these questions about like pickup. And I'm like, Allie, we got to go because I had like the frog in my throat.
Oh no.
Oh my God. I'm like, if anybody asks me to speak right now, I will cry in front of them.
Right.
Like, you know, and then as soon as we walk away, Alice starts crying. And then I'm like, well, that's not making it any easier. So we get outside. Goodness. I put my sunglasses on. And I'm like, oh, thank goodness. And then I let all the tears fall down. But it was such an emotional roller coaster. I think they just literally, as we came in to sit down to record the pop, they sent me pictures and she's smiling. She's happy. She's eating her snacks. Like it's all really great.
Maybe
like,
the real reason they don't want parents to go in is because it's too emotional for the parents, not for the kids.
Yes, yeah. I know. I'm like, this isn't the parents are the ones you really got to watch out for.
Jeez.
You know,
I know. No, I know the feeling. I mean, even like Luke's, he's starting his like second full week of first grade here, and like you know, I think like, you know, there was the initial excitement kind of going back, and then he had this first full week last week, and this week he was just like, you know, having your regular Monday mornings, like, I don't want to go to school. Like, I don't want to do it. And she's like, you feel so bad. You're like, there's really nothing I can do. Like, we have to go. I'm sorry.
I know.
You know, and you're like getting there. We're at the drop off. And it's like, he's trying to get out of the car. And it's like, I just wish I could like talk to you for a little while and walk you in. And I can't. And like, we're holding up an entire line of traffic. And like, you're like, ever like physically like push him out of the car. And you're like, I feel so bad. I'm sorry.
I know. Like, yeah. It's like, this
is, I can tell you're really nervous.
Right, yeah. Right. I know. These are like the interesting little moments in life that like I always remember my first day of preschool. Like it's like one of my very first memories ever.
Yeah.
And I do remember that, you know, kind of pit in my stomach, same thing, like frog in my throat, like as a small child, that was sort of like, wait, mom's leaving? Like, you know, their mom and dad, they're gone now.
Right.
Like, that's it. Like I'm here now and I'm not used to being here. But it's interesting because they are like these are sort of like the little like, you know, nobody is doing anything wrong. But it is this tiny little like traumatic moment that is like leaving like a stamp on your brain forever.
Right.
But it's like it's also just like what comes next.
You right.
Know? It's like
right.
This is not like, you know, I don't know. So it is very interesting. But it's also fascinating. And you probably experienced this way more than me. But the idea of like your kids going to school. From the parents' standpoint, it's like you really do have this whole fresh new set of eyes as to like what's really going on here.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, well, it's just it's a I don't know, like the other side of the door or something. How am I trying to describe this? Do you have this? Do you know what I'm talking about? Like your child going to school is not just like a big deal for them. It's a big deal for you.
Yes. Yes. And it's like when you're a kid, you are not thinking about what it's like for your parents at all.
Yes. That's what I mean. Right. Yeah. It's like, if anything, you're almost like, it's like, why are you making me go to school? This stinks.
Exactly. Exactly. And I'm sure that's how Luke feels at the moment as he's still adjusting to first grade here.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Just like, I don't know. Like, I don't want to, like, well, it's just so long. I have to go so many days in a row. And it's like, yes, you're right.
Yeah.
It is a long time and you're only in first grade and there's 12.
It's like, we're not even really close to being done.
Right. You're not really even close to being done. And then when you're done, you just have to get a job and, you know, so there's a lot of work left, you know?
Yeah.
You know,
you're kind of at the bottom of the
cherish
hill.
It.
Dude, that is one thing though that I felt like people brought up all the time about like high school. They were always like, it's like, just enjoy it. Like, this is the best time of your life. And I'm like, I look back on high school and I'm like, that was just inaccurate.
Right.
Like, it was not the best time.
Right.
Like,
no.
You know, I mean, and it's funny because it's like, I wonder, this is another thing I think I've started to pick up on the other side. But you wonder if like when they were saying that, it's because it feels like there's a couple of different scenarios on the table there. One, either their high school experience was just really fun.
Yeah.
And they like did truly enjoy it. Or maybe it's like, you know, it's like that like peaked in high school type thing. Where it's like, yeah, I was, you know, captain of the football team. And,
the
classic like reminiscences, probably getting, you know, you threw the ball a little bit further each time you retell the story,
right?
And,
yeah,
you know, or is it like one of these things where it's like, as a parent, you knew what it was like, you knew it was kind of difficult, and it's like you were attempting to be comforting, and so the end result is like these words of encouragement that are just maybe like a scooch shallow, but it's also like, what are they gonna say that's gonna make it better?
Right.
Like this is like when you're dealing with like a, I remember like we had a friend whose you know, parent passed away, and I remember talking to dad on our way to try to go and comfort them. And I remember dad just being like, you being there is what you are doing. You are showing your support. You are going to be present. You are going to be available. You guys can talk. You can cry. You can sit there in silence. You can tell a joke, like whatever. But like, there's nothing you can say that is going to make what they're feeling like better inside of this particular moment.
Right.
Like, you know, that's like, feelings got to be felt.
Right.
And school got to be experienced,
mm-hmm.
You know, is sort of where it's like, you know, it's not great advice because high school wasn't the best time of my life.
Right.
However, maybe it's just like, I need to say something here. I don't want to feel like I'm leaving you hanging.
Right. Yeah. It's like you got to have some kinds of words of encouragement and ways to like help them feel positive about the experience. And it's like, it's not all dark and dreary or anything.
Of course not. Yeah. 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 Like it's not like it's a nightmare. Yeah. It's just school.
I know. It's just like that. I remember that. It's like, you know, I remember being well into my school career and it being Monday morning and just being like, ugh, do I really have to go? Like, I really don't want to, you know, like, it's going to be a hard day. And like, you know,
right.
What if all my friends don't like me anymore? It's like, yeah, dude, you're fine. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like, none of those things are going to happen.
It's going to be all right.
You're going to be fine. You're going to be good. You're going to go in there. You've done it 100 other times. You're going to be good. It's going to be the same. You're just going to sit through the classes and that'll be that.
Right.
You're going to do
right.
your homework, whatever.
You'll get through it.
You'll get yeah. through it. You're going to yep. get through it.
There you go.
Yep. Well, sounds like you've made it through day one yourself.
I made it through day one. Yeah. I'm so anxious to hear how she is at the end of the day.
Yeah.
I have forever felt like Addison has got like very equal parts Alice and I in terms of like what her personality is, and there's a huge part of me that think that's going to work extremely well for her, because I think that she definitely has like a lot of like my timidness and my like shyness and like, you know, worry and stuff like that. She seems to be very like empathetic, but also I think she's got like a little bit of like Alice's more like innate like bravery, which I hope will translate to a well-rounded human being.
I don't feel like I would describe you as timid or shy.
No?
No.
Oh, man. See, it was, I mean, I would say that into adulthood, certainly less so
sure.
than I was growing up. But like, I do remember like, you know, the first day at summer camps, the first day of school, like there was always kind of that like, go sit quietly. And I think that usually like my tactic was to, not that this was like a known strategy that I was like implementing, just more upon reflection. I think I can see that I did
like
the
this
same
is what
thing.
You did. Yeah.
Was oftentimes like just kind of go be like a fly on the wall for a little bit and like observe all like the behaviors of the other kids and like then try to figure out like where you can fit into the equation.
Right.
And so like, you know, I think there are like moments in my, like my summer camp experiences, like where I remember like being kind of like a leadership type role and like people kind of like look to me as like the source of like humor or class clown or like, you know, speak for everybody or something type of person. And then there are other instances like where that was not the case at all.
Right.
So it was kind of like, I think I was able to like be malleable based on the rest of the people there, the rest of the personalities.
Right.
But it was almost like I needed to figure out like how to not be stepping on the toes of like the other people around me. Because if my personality was like going to be, you know, taking somebody else's position, I think I'd always felt like, well, that's just going to like earn me resentment from them. if they think like, oh, well now this kid's showing up and he's trying to take my spot, you know, in the social pecking order or whatever. So it was like,
as if those kids just deserve that spot.
Well, I mean, precisely,
yeah.
Precisely. Actually, it's really funny because I just finished like a big like psychological assessment thing that I've been doing like for the whole summer. And one of the activities that he had me do while I was going through, and, you know, I did like a myriad of different tests and questionnaires and IQ type things, whatever. But one of the things he gave me was just it was sentence completion. So like there would be like a fragment of sentence that started, and it was just like the prompt was basically like, first thing that comes to your mind.
Right.
Like, this is not like, you're not trying to give the best answer. You're not trying to give a creative answer. You're not trying to do anything. Just go through. And it says like, my childhood is blank, you know, or like whatever. And it's like, let as much as you're willing to let yourself just like flow, like just put an answer down. 50 things I had to fill in the prompts on. I left one of them blank.
Yeah.
The one that I left blank, and this was like the examiner thought this was very interesting, was just simply, it started with I, and that was it. That was the entirety of the prompt. So it was I blank, and I had nothing.
You had nothing.
I couldn't think of anything to say.
Right.
And so it's like, he was like, I think that reflects you a lot. Like, he's like, I think that a lot of who you are as a person is you're like, you need everything from everywhere else. Like, it's all, in his, you know, like, professional opinion, it had to do with like, external validation and assessment and that type of thing. It's like, that's where all of your information, that's how you like read the world. It's all external from you rather than like internal.
Mm-hmm.
Where, so it fits kind of perfect in the situation. It was like, you know, it's not like that kid deserved to be the person, the pecking order any more than I did. However, I wanted to see, and then I was just like, okay, it's easy enough. Like, if they've taken that persona in the classroom, then I'll, that's right. Theirs. No problem.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That is such an interesting way to think about it. I'm like trying to wrap my head around it, like, in the moment.
Well, okay. So I do it here in office. I do it here in office. I think this is a funny one because, I think even with, tech savviness, like, I would say most of the rooms that I am in my life, I would say I'm a reasonably tech savvy human being that can like navigate computers and make things work and, you know, overcome like complex issues and like a technological perspective. Here at the office, I am at the bottom of that pecking order, like, where everybody else here is more technologically savvy than I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's like a role that I then like completely like offset. Like, if I'm at home and I have to like program like an advanced computer to like run aquariums and stuff like that, like, no problem.
Right.
You know,
figure it out.
I do that. Yeah. Like, I could definitely do that. I'm not concerned. But like, when it comes to like things here in office, like, you know, setting up something with one of the cameras or how to manipulate the lights, the microphones or like whatever, it's like, This is almost like a task where it's like, I have like been like, nope, this is part of who you are in this office space. And so it's like, it's not that I don't think I could figure it out, but this is like yours.
No. Okay. That I feel like is like backwards the way that's not how I think about it.
Interesting. Okay.
No, because it's not like I don't doubt you could figure out how to do the lighting and stuff. Like, I'm not just letting other people set up the lights because that like it's like, you know, it like is part of their personality. It's like, that's their job, like that's what they're hired to do.
Oh,
like,
sure.
I hired them so I don't have to do it.
Okay.
Like, not because like I'm like I would be infringing upon their personality by doing it.
Interesting.
Like,
okay.
It's like a matter of like otherwise, like, this is why we hired you.
Yeah,
you
know, like, I mean, because expertise in this field. Yeah,
right,
that makes
sense. Like,
you're
better at it, so I hired you to do it. It's not like I can't set up the lights. It's not like I couldn't set up the camera or do those things. It's just like, my time is better spent doing other things.
Right. You know? Well, and I think on some level, it's like, it's interesting because it's this is not like necessarily as conscious as it sounds. Mm-hmm. Like, it sounds like this is something where I'm like sitting there like actively like decision making, you know, like the inner monologue is like feeding me voices that are saying like, you know, it's like, no, back off. That's their thing. And it's like, no, that's not really ultimately how it works. It's almost like that's like a sector where it's like almost like my confidence is just simply lower. But like for a long time, for example, in the early days, like I couldn't figure out how to like, or I had never set up one of the streams like for going live ever. And streaming can be as easy or as difficult as you want it to be. Like, you can go through and have external microphones and cameras and lighting and multiple screens going on and you know, different pages and views and different things that are happening inside of the streaming software. And for a long time, it was, you know, I would look at like what everybody else was doing and I was like, this is like a foreign language to me. Like, I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
And then at some point in time, it just sort of like became my responsibility and I was like, this is really easy. Like, but for the longest time, it was like, it was almost like one of those, like, I don't know what I'm going to do if this person is ever not here because nobody could ever solve this. And then it was like, oh no. Okay. This is actually quite doable.
Right. Yeah.
You know? So it was almost like I had to like learn, like, no, like, you've got this, you know, like, this is in there, but the confidence doesn't like live up there.
Right.
So I don't know. It's not conscious is all I'm really trying to say.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not like I'm not like choosing to do it. It's just sort of like, I think the way that my brain interacts with people in any given space.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that makes sense. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's very curious that you couldn't like the I blank.
Yeah.
And so you did.
There's nothing I could come up with. It's like, what would come after I?
Right.
Have you
thought about it since then?
I have thought about it and I still can't think of anything.
Right.
If I were to give the assessment, I'm like, okay, Jay, finish the sentence.
Well, I know. Now I've been thinking about it since you said it. But as you were saying it, just was just what I was trying to like, I was trying to prepare myself because I thought, yeah, you might ask me.
Okay.
Let me just try and answer it real quick in my head. So you said I, and then like, I thought you were going to say more words like I, something, something, something.
Okay.
So, but after you said I just immediately said am.
Am.
Am. I am.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
That'd be, I guess, how I would feel the fresh. That was what came to my mind first.
Do you want to know my dark secret?
What?
There was something that came to my mind and it's awful.
Oh no. Like an insult to yourself?
Yeah.
Oh no.
Just the word can't.
I can't?
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah.
I can't. Oh, that hurts.
I know.
Yes. Well, but you can.
I know. Sometimes.
Look what you do.
I know. I know.
You are.
Thanks.
Yeah.
You are too.
Thank you.
Transition.
Transition.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Boy, howdy, where to begin? I remember graduating college and having aspirations of becoming an entrepreneur. I was brimming with ideas. A kitchen tool that made spiral cut hot dogs, or a phone case that uses a special retractable cables to wrap around any surface for selfies. I had no idea how to make these ideas a reality, and spoilers, I still don't. However, what I have learned through my various other endeavors is how to take products and make them available for purchases online, thanks to Shopify. Shopify is an e-commerce platform that makes designing your webpage, setting up your store, and making your first sales a breeze. But the best part is that after that first sale, Shopify scales with your growth, meaning it's perfect whether you're selling tens, hundreds, or even thousands of products monthly. And I am a data person, and boy does Shopify have data. Want to know how many hot dog spiralizers you sold between May 29th and July 5th? That's peak hot dog season. Boom, data in no time. Also, the answer is zero. I still don't know how to make a hot dog spiralizer, but if I did, I would know exactly how to sell them. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout we use with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/poppop. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/poppop to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/poppop.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Fiji Water. Y'all, I have been having one heck of an amazing summer. Lake days on the boat have been some of the best of my life. And on those hot days, I love to keep Fiji Water on hand to keep my family and myself hydrated and refreshed. It really is from the islands of Fiji. Drop by drop, Fiji Water collects in a sustainable ancient artesian aquifer 1,600 miles away from the nearest continent, protected and preserved naturally from external elements. And as the water filters through volcanic rock, it collects a unique profile of electrolytes and minerals, resulting in more than double the electrolytes as the other two top premium bottled water brands, giving Fiji Water its soft, smooth taste. And unlike some other premium bottled waters, Fiji Water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring, and this water even has a perfectly balanced pH of 7.7, and because I'm a complete aquarium nerd, I tested this with some of my pH test kits and can tell you, confirmed. Fiji Water really is Earth's finest water. So get stocked up on Fiji Water this summer and visit your local retailer to pick some up for your next backyard party, beach or pool day, hike, or even your home office. It's not just water, it's Fiji Water. Popcorn Culture is sponsored by BetterHelp. I don't know about y'all, but no matter how hard I work, I sometimes still feel like I'm just not doing enough. And life is hectic. There's just simply no doubt about it. Whether you're in school, the early stages of your career, taking a big step romantically, becoming a parent, the list goes on. Each of us has daily stressors that can add up, making it hard to feel like you've ever got time for yourself. And this is when establishing some non-negotiable self-care tactics is more vital. vital than ever. So take the bubble bath, go for a jog, or better yet, pretend to go for a jog and just sit quietly on a park bench for a while. But I gotta tell you, for me, my self-care is therapy. In fact, here at Super Carlin Brothers, we have a no questions asked approval process for time off to take therapy appointments. It's something that we value highly, and we know it makes a difference in the lives of ourselves and our team. For me, therapy has been so vital to juggling my own busy life. While it can sometimes seem frivolous to make time for a hobby when there is so much going on, I've discovered that taking the time actually lifts my mood and makes me more effective everywhere else. And that's something I've learned in therapy. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/poppop today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/poppop.
Okay.
Jay, yes.
So,
hey,
I have a question for you and a question I want everyone listening. If you have a wife, I want you to ask them this question.
Okay.
Okay. Because I need to know where I am on this, or where more specifically Beth is on this.
I have literally no idea where this is going.
Okay,
I'm on the edge of my seat.
Okay, it's not going to be super important or anything.
Okay.
Who do you know who April O'Neil is?
Yes.
Yes.
From Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yes, exactly. Yes, yeah, that April O'Neil.
She's the reporter in the yellow jumpsuit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
You're aware of April O'Neil.
Okay.
You know, if I were to just say to you, but now I've already said her name, but if I was like, who is the Ninja Turtles like friend? Like, would that have come to mind, do you think?
I think that, let's see here. I mean, Shredder.
Yeah, he's the bad guy.
Yeah. No. Yeah. But he's not their friend.
No, not no. at all. No.
Now my brain is also stuck on Scabbers, which I know is incorrect.
Nope, that's not the rat.
Who is the rat?
Splinter.
Splinter. It's similar to Scabbers.
It is. It is.
Okay, so I would have had. Okay, this is a headspace problem.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also Hockey Man.
That's what Luke calls him.
Okay.
He's
okay.
Like, I want to be hockey guy.
Okay. What's his name?
Casey Jones.
Okay. It's yes. all coming back to me now.
Okay. There you go. You've got the Ninja Turtles going.
I am trying to decide. There's a chance without prompting, I couldn't have come up with April O'Neil off the top of my head. But I do know otherwise who she is and what she looks like. And I have like a memory of her,
you know,
from
yes.
like the movies and video games and stuff we played okay. as a kid.
I am so curious. What is the general knowledge awareness of April O'Neil?
Did you feel as though this was like everyday common knowledge?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Like, well, okay. So here's what happened is
laid on me
over the past like week or so, the kids have drifted back into a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle interest.
Which you're loving.
Which is great. It's fantastic. Love the Ninja Turtles. They're so fun.
I can see the joy oozing out of your mustache.
Ooze is a great Ninja Turtle word.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good.
I did it on purpose.
Okay. So it's always very fun when they're watching it. But so not only it's probably because they've been playing the game on the Switch,
okay,
which is very much like the game we used to have on the Sega Genesis, the Hyperstone Heist or whatever. And then there was a Super Nintendo version called Turtles in Time. And those are both based on the same arcade big port game, whatever, not important. The kids have been playing it. It's a throwback to those games. It plays the exact same. It's super nostalgic.
It's very fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's extremely fun. As a result, they've been wanting to watch one of the TV shows again. We watched one of the movies over the weekend. And now, because we're getting near Halloween, they were saying like, oh, we should be, you know, we should do Ninja Turtles for Halloween.
Okay.
Or whatever. And, you know, they were like, they were talking to Beth about it first. And, they, you know, Luke was saying like, I want to be the blue one. I want to be the leader. And, you know, Nick, you know, one of them wanted to be Donatello, one of them wanted to be Raphael, and they told me I had to be Michelangelo because I was the funny one. And I was like, excellent.
Nice.
I will take it.
That's amazing.
I know. But then Beth was telling me about this, and she was like, but who am I gonna be? Like, you know, are there any like female characters? And I was like, and this is when it hit me, and I was like the way she asked me this question was like, it, she like, I was like, do you mean like besides April? there's no way you could even like, she's like, who's April? And I'm like, April O'Neil. This is the conversation that's happening.
This would almost be like if me and you and Beth were talking about, oh my gosh, we should do Harry Potter for Halloween. Like Jay has glasses so he can be Harry, and then I'll be Ron, and then Beth would be like, is there like any like female characters that I could be?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Hermione?
Right. Like, yes. Yeah. Okay. It was just like, yeah, are there any girl characters? And it's just like, what do you mean are there any girl characters? Like, certainly you're like, because you're asking because you don't want to be April, or right.
Do you want to be Casey Jones?
You want to be the Shredder or something? Or right, you know, that's fine too. You know, you could be Karai. But it's like, what do you mean are there any female characters? Like, certainly April. April is the character.
Yeah.
There's like seven main characters and April's the only girl. So
I'm going to say I would be willing to bet that if we polled the audience, I would be willing to bet that it would be about a 50-50 split.
You think so?
I think it would be.
That is bananas to me.
I think if you just purely ask the question, do you know, like important research, right. Do you know who April O'Neil is?
Yeah.
Yes or no?
Right.
Then I think that it's going to be 50-50.
You think it's going to be 50-50?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's like, I don't think it's like, there's no way you know the Ninja Turtles and don't know it, but...
No, there is. There is way, because that was where Beth was.
Well, but I mean, but like, how much does Beth really know the Ninja Turtles?
I mean, she could tell you who the main four turtles were and who Splinter was.
Do you think it's possible that that's like because she took an art class in college? Like,
No. I mean, she is aware of who the main four are.
Okay.
You know, we've played the game. It's like they've watched the show a bunch.
Okay.
You know, it's like on in our house.
Right.
You know, April's not like some side character.
Okay.
Like if you like the reason I love Ninja Turtles, partly, I mean, otherwise it's just cool. But like most things don't pass into the public domain until it's been like, you know, 100 years or whatever.
Right.
But and at which point it's so fun because then you get to see all these different versions of these stories, which is why there's like, you know, so many versions of like Snow White or Cinderella.
Yes.
Or Sherlock or whatever.
Yeah. These are things that are not owned by the Disney company or right. BBC or whatever. It's like they have been written so long ago as fairy tales that now the likeness of that character is just public domain.
Right. The Ninja Turtles exist in a extremely unique space.
Okay.
In this regard, because most things that came out whilst we have been alive or like shortly beforehand will not pass into the public domain until way, way, way into the future. You know, like it's not going to change hands until way down the line. However, the Ninja Turtles exist on this this weird line of popularity where they are just popular enough that anyone would want to be the company that owns the Ninja Turtles.
Okay.
But then they are never so popular that they are catapulting that company into like bukus of like, they're never going to be like the top number one most popular thing.
Right. You know? Right.
Which means that they are a great like bargaining chip. They are a great franchise to get passed around a lot.
Okay.
And so they have been.
Okay.
And every time a new someone gets a hold of it, there's a brand new version of the turtles out there.
Got it.
And every time there's a new version, everyone gets all hyped again because it's really cool again. And then everyone's like, okay, well, we had our fun. Let's go move on to something else. And then it gets passed around and around we go. So unlike all these other public domain things, the turtles are new, but there's so many versions of them because they keep getting passed around and everyone wants to have another shot at it.
Interesting.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. This is, I did not know that about how they've come to be like, cause I know, if you were to think like Power Rangers, for example,
right.
It seems like there's been a ton of different iterations of Power Rangers, but it's possible that it's just like, there's a world where they know that kids will eventually outgrow it. So it's almost just like restart every 6-7 years
it's
or
basically,
whatever.
Yeah, it's basically kind of the lifeblood of the turtles. Like every 10 years, the next generation is ready for the turtles again.
And it's like, okay, let's reintroduce them. Kids like crime fighting turtles. This is going to end up being awesome.
There's so many. Yeah. And it's like, but what's cool is because there's so many versions, it's like there's always another start, but everyone has to play by the same like starting rules.
Okay.
Right. And those rules are that you have the four turtles, Donatello, Leonardo, Michelangelo, Raphael.
Yep.
They always wear the same four colors.
Yep.
They always carry the same weapons.
Okay.
And they're always raised and trained by Master Splinter, who is a rat.
Not Scabbers.
Right. Not Scabbers. That's right. That's the thing. Those are the turtles. Sometimes, and it's like, it's interesting to see how they do it. Sometimes Splinter was a human and he got turned into a rat. Sometimes he was a rat and he mutated and grew into a giant rat man, you know?
Okay.
Sometimes it's like that. It's usually the ooze. That's okay. What transforms everybody.
Okay.
They always fight the Shredder and they always befriend April O'Neil.
Okay.
These are the rules. Everything else, you can change as much as you want, but this is your starting. This is like day one. Here's what is true.
Okay.
These are the turtles, Splinter, April, Shredder. Go. Do whatever you want from here.
Love it.
You know? But so like that is always true. So it's like it is just boggling to me that you could not know who April O'Neil is, because she's like as much part of it. She's like the character, because then whenever they do the movies, she's the human character.
Right.
She's usually the one that like oftentimes they will use her as a way to get the audience to the turtles. Like she's the exposition.
Okay.
She's the one who's asking the characters like, what's going on? Tell me about yourself. I don't know things because I'm a human, but I'm your friend.
Is she always a reporter?
Not always, but a good majority of the time she's a reporter. She's okay. Pretty much her main, otherwise she's almost always wearing yellow.
Okay. I knew the yellow, like a yellow, like iconic kind of jumpsuit.
Yeah. She has the jumpsuit. Sometimes it's more of like a raincoat.
Okay.
Sometimes she's just a straight up ninja herself.
Nice.
You know? Yeah. Nice. So she's had different roles depending on the story, which is still fun.
That is really fun.
Yeah.
That is really fun. Okay. So, yeah. I mean, it makes for a great costume fodder as well for Beth. Like, you
know, right.
It feels like there's like an easy way to like pull this off without feeling like you're gonna have to walk around in something absolutely like absurd the whole evening.
Oh yeah. I mean, she was immediately like, I told her about that and she looked her up and she's like, oh, okay, cool. So yellow jumpsuit. And I was like, yes, absolutely.
Sold.
Yes. Yeah. And then, so she was like looking at all those things and having fun trying to find like a cool one on like Poshmark and stuff like that. So
I love it.
That was fun. So I guess I have to make a Michelangelo for myself. If you're wondering about the Power Rangers, they're a little bit different. They're basically made by the same company over and over and over. And what's weird is that the ones that got popular in America, the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers,
yeah,
we know them, and to us, those are the Power Rangers.
Right.
But those are not even, like, the way Power Rangers is made is that, or at least especially then, is that there is a, it's like all the fight scenes and stuff for the most part are just footage from Japan.
Okay.
And then because they're wearing full body costumes and masks.
So you can't see
who's behind them anyway. So what they do is they take all the footage from there and they put all the fight footage in here, and then they re-record the in-between footage with the American actors, and they can change the story to however they want based on what they need to happen. But these are sort of like, okay, you can change the story, but this is what the fight's going to look like.
So no matter what, yeah, the fight has to be this. The Yellow Ranger saves the day this
time. Yes, the Yellow Ranger saves the day this day. So write a story for the Yellow Ranger.
Right, yes.
And so, yeah. But like the first ones that came to America were the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. But that's not even like the first version of the Rangers in Japan. It was like several down the line.
That it's always, you know? Yeah, it's so strange when you hear it that way, because it's like, if you were watching it real time in Japan and knew that it had gained some popularity in the United States, like it would even be funny to be like, no. So that's, you like Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, huh?
I know, right?
Like, okay.
I know.
Came in a little late to the party, but right. No big deal.
Right. But then in America, it was so popular, they're like, well, we have to keep doing, let's just keep doing this version of them for a very long time. So you have like that main huge Zordon era with like the main Rangers that you knew from childhood. But since then, America has adopted the more regular Japanese schedule of like, every season is a new set of Rangers, and they'll go through the whole arc, and usually by the end, they'll lose their powers and defeat the bad guys, and then next, we'll enter a new spot of the Morphin Grid and go again.
Okay.
That's sort of how it goes.
What do you think the over-under is on people who know who April O'Neil is versus what Zordon is?
I think more people know about April O'Neil than Zordon.
Okay.
I think so.
Okay.
That is a good question, though. You're right.
Yeah.
I feel about the same.
Okay.
But Zordon was locked to one section of the Power Rangers.
Okay. Well, before this episode goes out, we are going, well, no, maybe we need to do it afterwards. I'm trying to think of what the best way to do this is. I was going to say, on our Patreon page for free, we will have these polls set up. So anybody can go to the Patreon page, patreon.com/popcornculture. They will be public facing polls, and we need your feedback.
Right.
But Also, a part of me is like, you can't go and see that poll until after we've had this conversation. So maybe that muddies the water a little bit.
Right. Because maybe now you're like, well, of course I know who it is.
Because you just explained it to me.
Well, now I explained it to you.
Right.
Or like, yeah, now that you were like, oh, I do remember her, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe you didn't. Maybe you're like, how do you not know who April O'Neil is?
Take honesty with you to the polls.
Take honesty with you. Did you know ahead of time? Who April O'Neil was.
Right. Yes. Think, go deep into your brain space. Imagine a world where you haven't just heard this entire conversation.
Right.
And think, if somebody just cold asked me, who is April O'Neil or Zordon, would you be like, I know exactly who that is.
It's tricky. I wonder, like teenagers must not, but like, cause here's the thing. Teenagers today probably don't know who Zordon is.
Okay.
Because even if they watched Power Rangers as a kid, they're not going to know. They wouldn't have seen Zordon.
You know what's really funny is right? Every time we say Zordon, I just keep thinking of Zoltan.
Zoltan from Dude, Where's My Car?
Yeah. Which is one of those movies where I'm terrified to ever watch again because I'm like, it can't have aged well. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was hilarious when it came out.
It was very funny when it came out. You're right. It does sound a lot like Zoltan.
Yeah.
But no,
yeah.
Zordon. Big floating green head guy in a tube.
Yeah.
I guess there was that live action. Well, not that all Power Rangers isn't live action, but there was the big movie.
Which big
recently.
Movie? Recently. Oh, recently. Okay.
Yeah, recently with like...
Naomi Scott.
Nailed it. Pink Ranger.
Who played Jasmine in the live action.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes. One of Charlie's Angels, I think.
Really?
In the new one, yeah.
Okay.
She's doing stuff, man.
Naomi Scott showing up everywhere.
She's just kicking like, butt.
I'm gonna ride that franchise roller coaster.
Let's go.
Okay, that's fun. Okay, so at some point in time, I said the words late to the party, showing up late, maybe something like that. Yeah. You have a note in our show notes for today.
I do.
What is the appropriate time to arrive at a party?
Yes.
Is this the question?
Well, okay, so I'll walk you through what happened over the weekend.
Walk me through what happened over the weekend.
Basically, one of my friends was having his 40th birthday party.
Nice.
Yeah. Good for him. And they had sent out the invitation several weeks ago. Here's the night, whatever. And it was this past Friday.
Okay.
So it said party starts at 6, right? And so me and Beth, we got our babysitter. They show up at like 5:30 and we head out and we're like fixing to arrive at about like 6:10 or so.
Sure.
And we drive up to the house and we can see, the cars parked in the driveway and there are none. There are just the friend's cars. No one's there yet.
The birthday lad.
Just the birthday lad. Just the people who live there. Just like no one is at the party yet at 6:10. So it's like 10 minutes after. And I'm like, we know these people. Like we've hung out before, but never like solo, like normally group setting.
Sure.
Situation kind of friends. So I'm like, we're kind of like, do we want to be
the very
first people at this party?
Okay, right.
Like we're already we're 10 minutes past when it said to start, which felt like enough time for other people to show up. But clearly no one else is here, so we literally just like drove around for a minute and like circled back until more people had showed up.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Yes. Okay. So you guys were like, oh, maybe we shouldn't be the first people.
We want to be the first people. And I'm like, do you, so like if it was a situation where like, you know, me and you were like, hey, do you want to like go to a brewery on Friday? You know, it was like 6:30 or whatever. It'd be like, yeah. Doesn't really matter. I'll be there like at 6:30.
Yeah, I think if we were meeting at a place, then despite the fact that the activity is non-time specific and it would just starts and then ends whenever it ends, even in that particular case, if it was like, hey, meet you at 6:30, I would expect, plus or minus 5 minutes in either direction.
Right.
But 6:30.
But yes. So this is what's weird. Is that's like for like an informal social gathering where we're like, where we set a time, it almost feels like, well, but we're meeting at a place. And like, you know, if you're there to have beers, if you get there 20 minutes late, other people might have already drank their beer, you're going to like miss the whole thing.
Yes. Because you got like the whole situation and that feels like the social mechanics of the occasion don't lend themselves well to people coming in a stagger.
Yeah.
Because you have to wait in line to get your drink in the first place. Then you get it and you go sit down and you start drinking it. And then if they show up, like, you know, at a point where it's like, okay, like, you know, I went to get like a refill and then they showed up and then they need to go stand in line. And it's kind of like you keep missing each other. It's like now all of a sudden, like the time frames have not worked out well. So to me, it's almost like, yeah, you meet in the place and then that way you can get in line together and
right.
you're going through the sequence of events at approximately the same time. You need a refill? All right, let's go back up, you know?
Yes. But what's funny to me about that is that's like a very informal thing. This was much more like formal, weeks in advance, here's a time. And it was like, hey, well, now that we know that, well, we may as well be late, you know, like, oh. would you like, it felt like, you know what, it says 6:00, we should probably plan to get there at like 6:30.
So, but like, was this like a, like you guys were going over for like a supper club type of like, everybody's going to sit around the table and have dinner?
No, I mean, I don't think I knew there would be like, they said they got it catered. So it was like, I don't think it was going to be like supper club or anything.
Okay.
But there would be like, I knew there would be dinner type food there
available. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But like it was, you know, from, you know, 6 to 9, 3 hours thereabouts.
Yeah.
You know, like if you had this party, if you had something like this, would you be trying to get there right at 6 or would you try and get there like a little into the party?
That's a really good question. It's a really good question. And I mean, to me, what comes to mind is the idea of like a bell curve where there's like the obvious, like, you know, I would imagine, because I feel like whenever I've thrown parties before, it's like, you know, if I say 6, I feel like some people have showed up at like 5:55, uh-huh. You know, to which point I was like, hey, I still had 5 minutes left right. to finish cutting this charcuterie board,
yeah,
you know, that I need to put out in like now 3 minutes since I right. started talking. Yeah, so I think typically there's a piece of that, but then I would have assumed that by 6:30 the bulk of the people would have been there, but I would think that, like, you know, a few people would trickle in right on time, most people would be there by 6:15, everybody would be there by 6:30, and you know, where you fall in that bell curve is just sort of where you fall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously you got tails on both ends, which are going to account for the outliers,
sure, yeah.
so to speak. But that would be my thought. Yeah, like I would think for such an event, yeah, I would intend to be there by no later than 6:15.
Okay. All right. Interesting. Yeah. So I think you're right. You mentioned like I think it depends on how good of friends you are with the people hosting.
I think, yes, I would agree with that as well. So I would say the closer friends you are, the more like, I think the closer friends I was, the more likely I would be to being there at 6.
Right. Like I figure like if you were hosting it, I would probably be those 5:55 people.
Sure.
For the sake of like, are there any very last second things you need help with?
Right. You need me to put the napkins or
slash yeah. also like, I understand some people will be 6:03 people and now I can be the people that they talk to.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I agree with that. Yeah. 100%. Right. Yep.
Like while you guys are still wrapping up or something.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Yes. It's almost like the party has like soft launched.
Yes.
Like, and maybe that's like what the real strategy is. It's like you tell like all of like your like inner circle. It's like 5:45, you know, it's
and
like,
then the rest of the people get here like 6.
That way there's like already like some
oh, to yeah. reverse host it.
Yeah.
In this world.
Yeah.
That's sneaky. Oh know, boy, man, that's the real solution.
I know. It feels like a good way to like it's almost like the back in the day there was like the MySpace top 8. It's like,
yeah,
it's like which was a really crude way that MySpace allowed you to basically rank your friends.
Oh my gosh.
It was honestly a terrible creation, hard stop, which I feel like only ever led to like infighting amongst.
Oh, it was such like a petty thing. And it was like, there were no news feeds or anything. So it was like, you had to set it and then just like hope people drifted over and noticed.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Yeah.
Like, yeah. And then by default, when you signed up for MySpace, the guy who created it, Tom, would be part of your top 8.
Yeah.
And so I know some people would be like, oh, it's so funny to keep Tom in there as like a joke.
Right.
So really, it was more like a top 7 and Tom.
And Tom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point.
Or some people wouldn't play and then they'd be like, I just don't sit it at all, I don't want to play. But then it's like you inordinately had like people who's like, and then they'll think it would alphabetize them.
Yeah, so then everybody's like best friends with Amber.
Yeah, yeah. And, yeah, so Amber's in like a ton of top 8s because people just didn't do it.
Yes. Yeah. Aaron.
Aaron's, yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah, that definitely ranks high on the list.
Yeah.
Or somebody who put like 1, 2, 3 XXO Roxy,
right?
I feel like would have been like a common
yeah.
Username back in the day. No, but I know what you mean. I think I had the GMA on mine, and that was my thing. So like, even if I was like dating a girl, it was like I only had like you, Mike, and John.
Oh, right.
That way it was sort of like, it was like, those are my people.
That's
it. It's like, I'm not doing a top eight.
I'm not doing a top eight.
I got like my best pals, and I think that they all know that they fall into this order.
Yeah.
You know,
smart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're good. My dudes. The one thing I did like about MySpace back in the day, though, is it had like the song that would come on.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Which was pretty amazing. So like you would go to somebody's page and then like immediately start playing music and it was like, all right.
Yeah.
Although
or not. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think for the longest time. I think I had Jason Aldean's Hicktown. As my song.
Very good. Very fun.
Yeah.
It always like that is one of those things that it would like really stress me out. Like, what is like the perfect song to put as your thing?
Yes.
Because like it would come like blaring out. Because not everyone had it.
I know. Yeah.
You know?
It was also not always like mixed well. That was also one, I think, that I was always like very afraid of, like the other people in the house, because like for such a long period of time, we didn't have individual computers or, you know, smartphones either. We just had one computer in the computer room that was like shared by everybody. And we didn't have like headphones. So you were just using like your computer speakers. And so it was like, you know, it's like that girl you have a crush on whose page you want to go to. And all of a sudden it starts playing. You know,
yeah,
a song that's very clearly like not music I would be listening to or something.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh no.
I know. It like felt so fun to do it, but then also so embarrassing.
Yes.
Like to open any of them. I would always just immediately pause it. I would never listen to it on anyone's page.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if you did this. I was like really on top of having like specific ringtones for different people.
Oh,
on
yes.
My phone.
Yes. Yeah.
But like, then anytime any of them would ever actually activate, it was always just like, oh my God, be quiet.
Yes.
Like
yes.
I never, like, you know, there was a period of time where you were used to having house phones and used to phones like ringing loudly. And this was like, oh, this would be so fun. Now it's like having caller ID because I'll know who it is based on the song.
Right.
Or whoever's calling me. And then it's like, I have to choose this like personal thing and it'll be cool for them. But like the person who you chose it for is never there to appreciate it because obviously they're calling you from wherever they are.
Right.
So otherwise now it's just a bunch of other people hearing a song you chose for that person.
Yes.
Instead.
Right. Yes. The inside joke is never being played in front of the person.
It did not work well in practice.
Yeah.
But I would spend, and this would be on like non-smartphones, you know, so you have to use these like really crummy internet connections to search for like a very limited number of songs and usually just like a sample of a song because they couldn't put the whole song on there. There'd be like 30 seconds of it. And these are the 30 seconds you're going to get. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The main thing I remember about doing this was setting my phone alarm my freshman year in college to Anthem of the Underdog by 12 Stones,
I think,
which is in the movie Never Back Down, which I've talked about before. The thing was, I loved this song. It's like one of those that like in my head I think like if I were to like play it before like if they played it like over like loudspeakers before like a race or a soccer game, it's like, you know, I'd be able to like kick the ball through the back of the net and it would like tear a hole.
Right. Like if you were like a wrestler, this would have been your intro song.
Yeah.
I was like, this be like, so boom, good. I'm so cool, look at my music.
I know. It was amazing. And I even think like I like resonated with that title, like Anthem of the Underdog.
Anthem,
you know, it's like
underdog.
that's me,
because
like, I'm the underdog, but the song is so cool.
So
hopefully everybody is like, all right, I gotta listen to what Ben used to get Ben hype. I made it my ringtone my freshman year in college, thinking like, all right, this would be like a great way to like wake up for my classes and be like ready to go. And now when I hear that song, all I can think about is waking up for like my 8 a.m. English class, and it's just like, ugh. I don't know.
Oh no, you like, ruined it for yourself.
I absolutely did.
You like put a weird association with it.
I did.
Yeah.
Yes. It's like when you've had too many libations of a specific flavor.
Yeah.
And then you end up having like just a total like nauseating, like every time it's like you whiff it, it's like, nope, can't do that again. Never, ever, ever again.
Wow.
That one's
how
just
unfortunate.
I know. Yeah. Mm. But maybe now it's been long enough and I'm like far enough away from my college experience to where it's like, I could like turn it on and be like, all right.
Yeah.
I'm down.
You could get it. You could get pumped up again.
Right. I mean, I could always watch Never Back Down, which always pumps me up. Anyway,
always pumps you up. Anyway.
Despite the fact that it's a pretty mediocre movie.
Well, that's okay. You know,
according to movie critics.
Movie critics and Rotten Tomatoes.
As if they know anything.
They don't know anything. This movie's as good as I say it is.
Do they even watch the movie? me?
It doesn't seem like it. They were like, okay, whatever.
Right. Yeah.
This is all right. Yeah. Not that great.
Yeah.
Anyway. But they're wrong. Yeah. This is another, like, Tokyo Drift falls into this exact, that's the Fast and Furious 3.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the best one.
Fast and the Furious 3 is, I think, the Tokyo Drift is the most polarizing Fast and the Furious movie, where either you think it should not be part of the franchise, or it's high in a way the best one.
Yes, yes. Well, and yeah, it's so funny because I think that, like, you know, when it comes to, like, obviously it's sad when these things happen, but when it comes to, like, celebrity deaths, I feel like the one that for some reason hit me the, like, absolute hardest out of all of them was Paul Walker.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the character of Brian O'Connor is, like, one, like, if I take, like, that, like, online, which, you know, movie or TV personality
quiz,
are you?
Do you think more people know who Brian O'Connor is or April O'Neil?
Brian O'Connor.
You think I don't think so.
No doubt.
I do not think so.
Okay, we'll throw it on the list.
We'll throw it on the list.
Yeah, okay. Okay, now we're having a good survey. This is going to be fun. But that was Paul Walker's character.
Yeah.
Spilner was his, like, alias, I think, in the first one. But, you know, it's so funny because, like, Brian O'Connor is, like, a character I super resonated with. I loved him. I loved Paul Walker. I thought he was just, like, you know, I just thought he, like, looked cool.
Right.
You know, the ice blue eyes, mm-hmm, the blonde hair. I mean, just, like, super, super suave, but also, like, low key at the same time.
Yeah.
And, like, the hilarious thing
that's
is
what
that
everyone says about the Fast and the Furious movies.
Yeah, definitely.
So low key.
Yeah. It's like nothing high key about them at all.
They're just nice, relaxing movies.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Fall asleep to them. But the third movie, Tokyo Drift, does not feature Brian or Paul Walker at all. It's like the one where it was almost like they were like, we're not really sure what to do with this franchise, and we couldn't get the other guys to come back, so we made a third one, and so anyway, here's what we've got. And somehow it is still, like, my favorite.
Yeah, it's so fun. I love it. It's just so, like, ridiculous.
Yes, it is ridiculous.
It's just so, yeah, just so what it is.
Right.
And it's so corny, and it's just this, like Southern American guy in Tokyo, and
Drift. What do you mean, drift?
There's, like, little Bow Wows in it.
Randomly.
Why? Okay. Sure.
Okay. Yeah.
And then it's like you see the other movies and you're like, hey, that's Han. He's from the third movie.
Yes.
Yeah. Didn't he die? And you'd be like, you'd think so.
Yeah.
You'd think so because, like, you mean because he blew up in a giant fireball in that car? Yeah. No, he's fine.
He's fine. He's good. Yeah. He's good.
Is he?
There's a backstory.
There's a backstory. He's fine.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, Fast and the Furious.
Fast and the Furious. There you go. Tokyo Drift. Where does it rank? Where does it rank on your ranking? I say it's the top one. I haven't seen any past Fast 5, so I should really maybe get up on that. But
I know. Yeah.
I mean, but do for a marathon. Do for a marathon.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
Speaking of. Okay. So you recently sent me a video of a guy who went all over the city of New York, possibly looking for answers as to how movie theaters make their popcorn.
Mm.
And he was discovering all of these, like, very specific ingredients that movie theaters use in order to kind of get that, like, yellow colored,
yeah, like the
movie
popcorn
theater.
What makes movie theater popcorn?
Yes. And you sent me a photo over the weekend, and you had gathered the very materials that apparently movie theaters are using to make their popcorn. I did make said popcorn.
So the big two secret ingredients are they use butter flavored coconut oil.
Okay.
Which I know it sounds weird and you're like, that's kind of gross. Well, just know that you're already eating it every time at the movies. Okay.
Right.
Like,
right.
That's what they're using.
Right.
And if you think it sounds gross, just wait till you see it. it is weird and lumpy.
Weird and lumpy could be the title for this week's episode. People are like, what?
No, it's just butter. It melts down. It's fine. It's not gross. I'm not sure it's good for you, but yeah, I was like, just getting it out of the container. I was like, okay. And then there's this like butter salt. It's called like Flavacol, and it's just like the salt seasoning that goes on there. And So I made, I poured in my, my butter flavored coconut oil. I got my popcorn in there. I put on my Flavacol and let it go, let it pop. And it came out all nice and yellow and exactly how it looked exactly right.
Okay.
And, I mean, it tasted very good.
Okay.
I would say to my own personal standards, I still need to dial in the exact ratios.
Okay.
But
yeah, that's fair.
But the rest of my family was like, this is amazing.
Oh, so they loved it.
Yeah. Beth thought it was like very good. She was like, oh, that's exactly movie theater popcorn. Like, this is exactly right. And I was like, I think I can do better. You know, I hold myself to a higher standard.
Dude, but. I understand completely. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not saying it's not good. It's just, I can do better.
I can do better. Okay. It's like, we can get there. Maybe it's the kernels. I don't know. But then the kids also, like, they were going to town on it. Like, we finished it and they were like, you know, they still wanted more. I made a second bowl.
Man.
I don't know. I had a second bowl it. Haven't had to do that in a while.
Wow.
So yes, I would say big success. For the popcorn experiment.
Okay.
Yes.
You'll love to hear that.
I know. I was. And I was like, you know what? I felt like we have a show called Popcorn Culture. We talk about movies. I gotta experiment with some popcorn here.
I know. Yeah. I mean, I've always thought that like we make like I think it goes back to like one of our younger brother Tyler's like science fair experiments where they were like testing to see how much oil or something to do with how to make like homemade stovetop popcorn.
Yeah. And like whether you soaked it in water or something, the kernels in water. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Because I guess what they say is like when the kernel is popping, it's like the small amount of moisture is like boiling, which is like what forces the pop. So it's like if you soak the kernels in water, does it make more water soak in, which then gives you like a bigger, more floury pop, which I think the answer was no.
I think it was no.
I think it didn't make a difference.
Yeah. I think it made a difference in the wrong way.
Oh, it made it worse.
Yeah. Made it worse,
like soggy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so long story long, though, I feel like ever since then, I feel like our household has made quite good stovetop popcorn.
Yeah.
So you've now like taken the torch and sort of like carried it further up the mountain a little bit.
I mean, popcorn is like absolutely one of my favorite snacks. As you can tell just by the name of this show,
right?
And it's one of this is another one of those things where maybe it like falls in line with April and Air, where I'm like, everyone just loves popcorn, but like, you know, or like no one would mind if you made popcorn, but sometimes I will like have made popcorn and be like, you just really like popcorn, don't you? And I'm like, do you not want some? She's like, nah. And I'm like, you can avoid eating popcorn in front of you.
There's like, popcorn right here.
Impossible. Nope. I don't think that's true.
The one thing I would say is that I am not usually tempted very much. Like if I'm at like Disney World or like a fair theme park, anything like that, I'm not usually terribly tempted by just a standard popcorn vendor.
No, I would agree. Like if it's just like, well,
I say that and then I'm thinking of kettle corn at like any like outdoorsy event where they've got like the big like copper tub and like the guy's got the paddle and he's mixing it all up.
Yeah.
So I won't lie, I would get that every time. But like just basic buttered popcorn that's being sold at, you know, like wherever, I'm usually not that like, not like I need to have it.
No, I agree with you there. Like if it's just like a regular popcorn vendor, I don't really care. And if it's like pre-bagged popcorn, I also don't really care.
Okay.
But if it is stovetop popcorn, if it is popcorn I made myself or like out of this machine right here next to me.
Right.
Or if we're at the movie theater, then like it's like up there for my favorite snack. Like I really like popcorn, but not like, but I would never go like into a gas station and buy like a pre-sealed, pre-popped bag of popcorn.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, I follow that. What I think is kind of fascinating, I thought this was so interesting. Alice's mom took Addison to the movie theater to see Inside Out 2 a couple of weekends ago. So this was Addison's first ever movie theater experience.
Oh, man.
Yes.
And you weren't a part of it?
And I wasn't a part of it. Wow. I know. It was one of those things where like she told me that she was going to take her and I was so excited for Addie to go and have that experience, but I was also sort of like having this like, but I'm supposed to be there. Like,
right, yeah.
But it's also kind of like, you know, like you don't own Addison's experiences. Like, you know, she can go do her thing.
Yeah.
What I thought was really interesting was my mother-in-law got her candy, got her popcorn, you know, and they had like the full experience, which was great. But apparently she texted me afterwards and she's like, do you guys put M&Ms in your popcorn? Which I know is a fairly common practice to do because you get like that sweet and salty factor going on. And I think sometimes like it's popcorn bags or candy bags. I don't know. It seems like sometimes it is even like advertised as something you would do.
Yeah.
However, we don't normally do that. We just don't normally have like the candy in our house to do it with. And Addie, of her own accord, took her bag of Reese's Pieces, and poured them into the popcorn and ate them that way.
Good popcorn instincts.
I know. Yeah. So she was like, "Do you guys do that?" And I was like, "No." And she was like, "Well, she did it on her own." And I was like, "How about that?"
There you go.
I was like, "That's pretty cool."
Right? That is pretty cool.
I was sort of proud of her. I was like,
"I'm proud of her."
A little ingenuity there.
There you go. Yeah. Good for Addie. I will, like, pro tip. Yes, M&M's and popcorn. Whew, super good.
Do they not sink through? Is this what I always imagine will happen?
Yes, that is exactly the problem. So okay. I would say what you really want to do is just have M&M's and popcorn.
Okay.
And then just like craft a bite with each. Because what happens, like, it's whimsical and novel to pour the M&M's into your big bucket of popcorn, but they will all just sink to the bottom and you'll get none of them.
Right.
Like, it is fun and I love the idea, but it does not work.
Okay. You want to know what else is fun and I love the idea, but I also am not like always enamored with?
What?
S'mores.
Really? You don't like s'mores?
I like s'mores.
Yeah.
But like, I oftentimes think they're going to be way more spectacular than I feel like they end up being. And I can't tell if this is about to change for me at all, because I've been talking about, I think, a little bit lately, like, since boating season is maybe the sun is kind of setting a little bit on it. Mm-hmm. I've been trying to be like, okay, I have so loved having this like very specific, dedicated activity-centric family time every single weekend. And so I've been really big on this idea of like, okay, it's fall season. You know, we've got Go Fest on the horizon. It's like camping season. And so I ordered a tent over the weekend.
Nice.
Which I'm so excited for.
That's very
fun. It's going to be so much fun. And the pictures inside of my brain that I have for what I imagine camping to be like is like blossoming. It's like I have like more ideas, more like, oh my gosh, I get to like introduce Addie to this, and like we can do this activity and like whatever. And then s'mores pops up on the list and I'm like, ah, they're always so sticky, kind of messy, and like, but then I'm like, but if she loves them, it will make me love them more. And then it's like
s'more. Yeah.
Oh wow, I don't know how I missed that. Yeah. it was right there.
Yeah.
But I think this is like one of the big things that's happening. It's like everything that I'm watching through Addie's eyes is recontextualizing it for me in such a massive way.
Yeah.
Like even over the weekend we watched Incredibles a couple weeks ago, and she wanted to watch Incredibles 2 because it was like popped up as like a suggested. And I was not someone who like loved Incredibles 2.
Yeah.
I sort of thought it was like subpar.
Yeah. Boy, they set themselves up for that, didn't they?
I know, redeemed myself. And I think it was on purpose, though, because it's like they're superheroes, but their last name is Par, and Par means average, but they're not average.
They're forced to live an average life, and they're an average family.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Symbolism.
Hey.
Yeah. I don't know why I said it like that. Symbolism.
Symbolism.
But I'm sitting there watching with her, and she was enamored with it. She like really liked it. And so I was like, yeah, like then I'm sitting there and I'm like, I like it more too.
I know,
and I'm
right?
Like, is the problem on some level that like as we grow into adults, we become so like cynical of everything that like it's like, well, this isn't as good as the original, and you know, like I'm like whatever. It's
oh,
like,
I know.
She loves it, so like now I love it because she loves it, and it's like that's all that really matters.
That's all that really matters.
Like, I'm overthinking it,
dude. So much. The internet, yeah, does that to so many things.
I know.
It just is like, oh, it's not as good. Oh, they're just trying to make money. Oh, just the cynicism. It's not my favorite thing. I don't like cynicism in general.
Yeah.
In any case, like I had a very similar experience this past weekend where Luke came downstairs and he was watching the Emoji Movie.
Oh,
which,
man, yeah.
I've never seen at all, but all I know about the Emoji Movie is that it is like the internet's punching bag.
Yeah.
And that everyone thinks it's so dumb and so stupid. And oh my God, I can't believe they made this movie. What a dumb idea. And like Luke was like, I just love this movie. It's so good. And I'm like watching it and I'm like, this is perfectly fine. Like, you know,
it's a passable movie.
This is a passable movie. Like, I don't understand why everyone's like dunking on it so hard.
Right.
Like, you know, I probably wouldn't like choose to watch it, but like it, like the, my perception of it was very tainted ahead of time. And then I was watching it and I was like, I mean, yeah, it's this is fine, you know.
Yes,
no big
yes.
deal. They're making lots of obvious jokes, but that's okay. I mean, there's a poop emoji. Of course you're going to do that, you know.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, the other one that we had like this was your kids were watching Boss Baby,
yes. I think
from DreamWorks.
Oh my gosh, you're right. Yes.
And Boss Baby is one of those where like I saw the advertising and I was like, "Nope." Like, I mean, and not even that I was like judgmental of it or like frustrated by its existence. I had no opinions about it because I just literally didn't care. I was like, I have no reason to watch this movie, like nothing. It doesn't matter.
Right.
And that was it. So it was like, it didn't even register as interesting enough for me to dislike it. I just literally wrote it off.
I remember exact same thing. I was like, nope. Okay. DreamWorks, whatever. And then I remember it being like nominated for like an Academy Award the year it came out for like best animated feature.
Oh man.
And I was like, I remember seeing that and being like, wow, the bar was low this year.
Oh, right.
The
right,
bar
right.
was Boss Baby. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's no way. And then you watch it and you're like, okay, this is an interesting premise.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's sent from like Baby HQ because he was a different kind of baby and has a specific objective. And, you know, it's like you see like the connection between the siblings and it's like it ends up being like a better film than I thought.
Yes.
And I mean, maybe on some level what's happening there is like my bar for it was none. Like I had no bar.
Right.
So if it was entertaining, it was better than I thought it was going to be.
Right.
So it's, I'm not here to remark and say it was the best thing I've ever seen or anything either, but like it's like one of those things where it's like, I just never would have turned it on. I never would have chose it.
Right.
And then I found myself sitting there being like, hang on. No. 1 second.
Hold on.
I want to see what happens next.
Yeah. How's it going to end?
Right.
How are you going to be the puppies? Oh, a twist villain. What?
No way. So anyway, yeah, I think it's just very interesting. So yeah, maybe part of what I keep thinking though is that what's going to end up happening is I'm going to go and do these, you know, when I say camping, I'm not talking about like hardcore, like backpacking wilderness type stuff. I'm talking like pull the car up to the campsite where the pre-built fire pit and,
right,
you know,
set up your tent, set next up in the car.
Yeah. A tent mansion and have an air mattress and all that type of stuff. But I'm like, you know, what's going to end up happening is I'm going to bring my projector and watch movies and eat s'mores. And I'm probably going to be watching movies that I previously was like, you know, wasn't sure about, eating a snack that I'm like, not sure about. And it's like, but it's like all of a sudden these things are like morphing into this like perfect idea in my head. And I'm like, I am obsessed with doing these things that I have historically not like gravitated towards.
Interesting.
I know.
Yeah.
So
I'm surprised about s'mores because I feel like I realized once upon a time that like, or maybe this is just me, but I feel like for some reason, s'mores are like a very, like I really like them. You're right. They do get sticky and stuff. That can be the problem.
Yeah.
But like, I always like the flavor is so good.
Uh-huh.
And if there's such like a novel thing that like other, like cereals or like people will try and recreate the flavor of s'mores.
Yes.
And I feel like oftentimes when there's like a sweet or a baked good that that is trying to be replicated.
Uh-huh.
And other places, like if you're like, oh, this tastes like tiramisu or something. And it's like, no, it doesn't. It never tastes like what it says it's going to. You're like, this tastes like blueberry pie. And it's like, no, it doesn't.
Right.
Whatever. But because s'mores are just chocolate and graham cracker and marshmallow, and it's just those three things together. Like, what I have found is that I have been shocked by how many things say they taste like s'mores, and they taste exactly like s'mores.
Like the s'mores Pop-Tart tastes like eating a s'mores.
Yes. Yeah. S'mores Pop-Tart tastes like eating a s'mores. S'more cereal tastes like eating s'mores. Like, it's a very transferable flavor because it's just three ingredients and like nothing else required.
maybe we should do an episode of Jay versus Ben where we rank various s'mores flavored foods.
Yes, that would be fun.
S'mores foods.
Yes, yeah. S'mores foods. What's the best s'mores food?
I like it.
Yeah,
that's okay. Gonna be a good. Oh,
that's a really good one.
All right.
I'm into it.
Okay. So something to think about. You gonna come camping with me?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely. That sounds so fun.
I'm so excited. It's gonna be so much fun.
It's gonna be good.
A brand new endeavor.
I'm sure the boys would love it, or maybe not.
Is there a reason in your mind that you can figure why I am almost having this like internal compulsion to make sure I have a slingshot for camping?
Do you mean like a wrist rocket or like a three-person thing?
Okay, hold on. We have to back up just a smidge here now. The three-person slingshot was something that we did on the very first GMA outing ever, where there was additional human being on the trip with us who ended up not being a part of the friend group.
They didn't make it.
But what's hilarious is that all I remember is that there was another person there, but for the most part, all my good memories of that camping trip are with the core GMA.
Yeah.
Which is, I guess it probably... ultimately makes sense.
Yeah.
But we had a three-man slingshot, and I remember we shot a can of Coca-Cola diesel, so standard Coke, into a nearby tree.
Yeah.
And I mean, to say that the can almost liquefied upon impact with that tree.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that the liquid came out of it. I mean the can itself became molded to the tree. So that's probably why you would think of the three-man slingshot.
Yeah.
But for some reason, it almost feels like you're supposed to have a little wrist rocket, not for hunting, obviously, or anything like that. Just more for almost as if I'm supposed to teach Addy how to take little pebbles off the ground and fling them.
Boy, I don't know. When I think about going camp, the idea of letting my boys near a wrist rocket is just
it feels dangerful.
It feels one, someone's either going to get absolutely blasted by a small pebble, or someone's going to get absolutely blasted in the eye by the rubber band.
Yeah, I'm going to not do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not. Okay. I don't think we're big enough.
Yeah,
I don't think we're there yet.
I don't think we're there yet.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm thinking of maybe is in the early, early, early years of going to Vermont. I say early like that. We were probably 8, 9 years old.
Sure.
I may have even told this story before, but I'm going to tell it again for the sake of it. We had one of those wrist rockets that had the little rubbery bit, that would kind of press against the top of your wrist.
Yeah.
And our great uncle Bill, I believe, said that he would give us $5 for anybody who could hit the buoy that was floating 75 yards off the end of the dock. Kind of
75.
It's pretty far.
It's far.
It's further than you think it is.
Yeah.
And I remember we would go and pick up all the pebbles and we would try to shoot them, and they would fall short by maybe 3/4 distance at best. And so the obvious thing that you do as a kid is try to pull the slingshot back even further so that you can send the rock.
Send it further.
Further. So what I started doing was looping my foot through the handle, and I would sort of hold it with my toes, and then it would be pressed against the top of my shin, and I would lay down and pull the slingshot back all the way to my shoulder and let it go. And at some point in time, the little strap that's supposed to rest on your wrist, or in this case in my shin, just sheared free, and the entire stretched out slingshot came flying back and hit me square in the middle of my face. And I think because it's Y-shaped was the only thing that prevented it from just absolutely shattering my nose, because I feel like it hit in the Y-shape almost hit my cheeks.
Man.
And then the middle sort of did hit the brim of my nose. And I remember I was so embarrassed, and I was so sure I was going to be in trouble for both breaking the slingshot and for having used it so incorrectly as to harm myself, that it was one of those things where I almost didn't just walk away and cry.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want anybody to know how bad I had messed up.
Mm-hmm.
So I was okay, I need to get
away
from this.
Sounds like a highly concealable injury too.
Yes. Yeah. So anyway, we're not doing slingshots, but for some reason they were I was should there be one? But there's not. No, I've ruled it out.
Ruled it out.
Too dangerous.
I remember a different camping trip we went on to Camp Kilowatt. I think we had a bunch of rubber band guns.
I was gonna say,
yeah,
I remember this one too.
Yeah, that was super fun. And it was I think, there's a standard way of loading it where you have the one big long rubber band, you put it on there, and pull the trigger, and poof, flies off. And quickly, I can't even believe how quickly, as kids, it'd be well, I can just load up 7 of these at a time.
Oh, yeah.
And just crank it back a few times, and then I can rapid fire them, and booyah, now we're really talking.
Yeah, now it's on.
But it's just, you're right. It's the thing is, when you're using a slingshot, in order to aim, you got to put your eye right on the other end of the rubber band.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Perfectly lined up.
Perfectly lined up. And it's supposed to go that way. But if it goes this way, you're in the wrong spot, my man.
Yeah.
And that is exactly what happened to one of my friends. He was playing with the rubber band, just came flying back in his eye. And he was bright red the whole time.
Oh, so, yes. I mean, nothing worse than eye pain.
Ugh.
It's too close to your brain. And I feel like your brain is sometimes I think this is legitimate. If you ever get punched in the nose, or a soccer ball hits you in the face or something, it's like the agony is just too close to the part of your body that like is reading the information.
Yeah.
And it just hurts even worse.
It does.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So no good. No good. I do remember that though. I also remember that like the thought was almost like, okay, so you pull the rubber band back and let's just say you're like learning how to use the rubber band gun for the first time and you can like crank the little like cog.
Yeah.
And so it's like at the very top, it will shoot it forward. If you pull it back like 3 clicks, it'll shoot it a little bit further. And then you start to be like, I'm going to crank it all the way around to where like the rubber band is folded on itself like 3 times so that the cog is going to have to like,
yeah,
in order to shoot. And then it's like at some point in time you have diminishing returns.
Yeah,
it's
just it doesn't work as well.
Yeah, now you're just jamming up the gun and like all the little rubber bands
just
are
asking
everywhere.
For it.
Asking for it, asking more like it. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we survived.
We did. Survived. Yeah. We're good. You know,
Camp Kilowatt. I love that because the kilowatt is how they measure electricity, and the lake that we go to is managed by the local electricity company. And because it was a dam, it was like a man-made lake. So yeah. Camp Kilowatt.
Like
when I was a kid, I always thought kilowatt was like more of like a reference to like maybe like a native situation or like I didn't know like kilowatt just sounded like a word.
It just sounds like a word. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was just like, okay. But now as an adult, I'm like kilowatt. That was, I get
the
it.
Power, it was for the people who worked at the power company. I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody in a room came up with a good name.
They did. Yeah. Yeah. That was a fun one.
Pretty superb. Anyway, guys, as always, be sure to go on over to that Patreon page to vote and let us know if you know who April O'Neil is, Zordon, or
Brian O'Connor.
You
already forgot.
I know. Yeah, I was
not
like,
helping your cause, Ben.
Dude, my brain is not good with lists of three. I can remember 2 things, but not 3 things.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, be sure to let us know. Do you know who they are? It's patreon.com/popcornculture. You do not need to be a patron in order to vote. I just want to know whether or not, and you have to be honest with us and yourselves, did you know who those people were beforehand? Link to that in the show notes down below. But otherwise, guys, until next time,
pop pop.
Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishawn Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager, and the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Through the Griffin Tour is back, and this time we are heading to the West Coast. Join Jay and I as we record brand new episodes of the show live in person with you guys, plus a special in-person Jay versus Ben with questions asked by... This September, we will be heading to Seattle, Portland, Sacramento, Berkeley, San Diego, and Los Angeles. Seattle and San Diego were both sold out, but we've just added matinee shows to both locations. So if you missed out on the first pass, or if you want to join us for a doubleheader, we will have 2 unique shows in the same day. For us, there is nothing more fun than getting to nerd out Harry Potter style with each and every one of you. And we will also have exclusive Through the Gryffindor merch and a VIP meet and greet available for every show. We hope to see you all there. Ticket links can be found in the show notes or at supercarlinbrothers.com.